you brought your Bibles, you can go ahead and pull that out, turn or tap to Matthew chapter 3. This is not only Baptism Sunday, but it is also the first in a series of messages that I'm going to bring over the next few weeks on what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. God's Spirit is in the world helping people every day. And He is amazing, and we're going to take some time over the summer, the rest of the summer, to talk about Him. And this message series is called Help is Here. Help is Here. But I want to kind of combine these two things, this introduction into this series on the Holy Spirit and what we're doing with baptism today. And I'm going to take you to the very beginning part of the Gospels and of Jesus, these good news, the good news about Jesus, the first four books of the New Testament, which are the books that were written in your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the testimonies of those guys about who Jesus was and is and what He did and what He's doing. And so each in the beginning of these books of the Gospels of Jesus is some stories about a guy by the name of John. Anybody know someone named John? Everybody know somebody named John? Well, this guy, John, he was known as John the Baptist, and he came before Jesus, and he began to preach and proclaim, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Okay, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So let me just, I'll ask you another question just to kind of get you kind of oriented. I ask people to raise their hands all the time in church. If you're not familiar with that, we'll just, today was the day. How many of you have ever had to repent and go and tell somebody you did something wrong, you repented, you had to ask for forgiveness, okay? How many of you thought that just felt wonderful and great? You were so happy that you were wrong, that you had to go confess that you were wrong. None of us felt that that was a great thing. I want to kind of do something right now because and maybe change our thinking a little bit about that word repentance. Repentance means to change your mind. That's all it means, change your mind. So when John the Baptist comes and he's preaching, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, what he's saying is, hey, listen, pay attention. Something is about to happen that is going to change the way you think. And repent and turn. And so he comes and he's preaching before Jesus comes on the scene. And he is known, of course, as I said, John the Baptist. And he was known as the Baptist because he baptized people. Go figure. And this was the message of the gospel. And gospel just means good news. So John came proclaiming the good news that one was coming, that Jesus was coming, the Messiah was coming, and that we should turn from the way we used to think and turn and begin to think about God in a different way and repent. There are, in this New Testament, these gospels, there are several different baptisms. And I want to explain a little bit, first of all, there's a baptism of repentance, like I just said, this changing of mind, a turning, repenting. There is the baptism which we are going to observe our friends and family members today being baptized, and that's a baptism of death and resurrection is the symbolism there. And then there's another baptism, and we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And these baptisms all are a part of the gospel, the good news of Jesus coming into the world. The Bible talks about repentance as being a gift, as being a gift. And I already had us all agree that none of us thought that repentance had a positive thing. You know, like admitting you're wrong is not something people find easy to do. But let me ask you this question. After you got through the humbling experience of saying, I was wrong, will you forgive me? And if that person forgave you, didn't you feel better afterwards? Right? That produces a couple of things. One, it reconciles the relationship. When you have wronged somebody and you go to them and you say, you know what, I'm sorry I did this to you. I ask you to forgive me. And if they give you that grace back and they say, I understand, you know, I forgive you. And there's a reconciliation of the relationship. That is a beautiful thing. And that's where the gift of repentance comes in. And it is a good thing. It is a wonderful thing. One of the things about this baptizing fella, John, his baptism was the baptism of repentance. And in Scripture, there is a connection between sin and uncleanness. How many have ever gotten so dirty you needed a bath? Okay? How many of you do that on purpose? You like to play in the mud. Get out on your motorcycles, your razors, your mountain bikes, you just get dirty and go, and then you wash and you feel great. That same idea of being washed clean is a part of and connected to this repentance and baptism of repentance. So there's this idea of washing away of sin, washing and making clean. I told you last week, you just get ready for all kind of my grandbaby, grandson stories all the time now. So that's just the way it is. But how many of you know the smell of a little kid who's been having fun? Right? You smell that kid and you're like, that's a little funky, but it smells like fun. That's what we say. But then if you give that kid a bath, how many of you love the smell of Johnson's baby soap? And you get that little kid and you, after their bath, and I just sniff the tops of their heads. Like, I don't know, is anybody else that weird? Like, sniffing a clean kid's head, I'm sorry, it sounds weird, but when our girls were young, and give them the bath, you just, they smell so good, so clean. And now we get to do it with Ezra, and you give him a bath, and he smells so nice and clean. And that's one of the ways, just think about how beautiful it is. After repentance, there's this cleansing that makes us clean, and it makes us clean before God, and it's beautiful. In Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you here. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, this is John the Baptist speaking. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. Right, so that's what we've been talking about, this baptism in water for repentance. But he who is coming after me, and he's talking about Jesus, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay? So he's baptizing, but he's talking about another baptism. And Jesus, of course, did come. In fact, Jesus went and was baptized by John. And then Jesus, after that, begins to all of his ministry, where he's going around, he's preaching and teaching and healing people and just loving on people. And he finds the worst people, and he seems to love on them the most. And, and it is the broken people. Those are demon-possessed, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, all the broken and sick people are the ones that Jesus goes and pays the most attention to, and he loves on them. And we see his life and his teaching, and it comes to the point where it is time for him to lay down his life for his friends. And in the laying down of Jesus' life, his death on the cross, he made a payment for sin so that our sins could be paid for. Jesus takes that on the cross. He's buried in the grave. And on the third day, he is resurrected. So there's this death, this crucifixion death, the burial, and a resurrection in the life of Jesus Christ. It's one of the main points I want to make, and I'll just put it on the screen. Our faith in Jesus is centered on Jesus' death and resurrection. What Jesus did with his death and paying for our sin, and what he does in his resurrection in conquering death and being able to give us our own life eternal in resurrection, it is amazing. Jesus begins then, after that, he raises from the dead, and in Matthew chapter 28, he gives his disciples a commission, what we know as the Great Commission or co-mission, his mission and the disciples' mission together. In chapter 28, Matthew verse 19 and 20 says this. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, And as I baptize each and every one of those being baptized today, I'm going to say those same words. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so as Jesus gave this great commission to his disciples and to all Jesus' followers from then until now to go and make disciples and to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, verse 20, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Okay. So far, we've talked about or mentioned at least three different baptisms. Right? John's baptism, a baptism of repentance. John said, hey, Jesus is going to come, the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus begins preaching and shares that, hey, we are to go and to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 6, are you still with me? Okay. In Romans chapter 6, I want to read three verses there, verses 3, 4, and 5. It tells us this, and this is the imagery of what we want to communicate today. Okay. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Okay? So thinking about this, we already said that our faith in Christ has to do with our looking at his death, his burial, his resurrection, payment for our sin on the cross, and his resurrection, which is victory over death. He says, we see ourselves in baptism, we see ourselves being connected with Christ, Jesus, our Savior, in each of those things that he endured. So in baptism, we see that we are connected with Christ in his death. I'm going to take each and every one of these baptees, and we're going to get them all the way under the water. Okay? And I always love to joke. Yeah, see, Wayne, I tell everybody, but I really had to tell Wayne, I will not hold you under the water. But we're going to get you all the way wet. And that water represents the grave, the tomb that Jesus was placed into. Our symbolic tomb today is the water. So the death, we identify with Jesus and his death. Yes, he died for me and I died with him. We're buried with him. And 3 days he was raised. And when I bring these folks up out of the water, it is to represent and symbolize the new life that they have in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's what's so powerful and beautiful is this new life in Christ. Okay? Let me show you how this plays out. I'll give you one more passage and we'll move on here. But in Acts chapter 19, a couple of verses here. This is this event happens with a guy by the name of Paul. He was an apostle of Jesus, and he was a guy who went around and told people about Jesus, and when people responded to that message and they gave their lives and trusted in Jesus Christ, it formed a church, and the apostle Paul trained them and got them going, and then he would go on and start another church somewhere else, and that was his job. But he gets to this place called Ephesus, and there were already some people there that had already accepted Christ as their Savior. So they were already Christians. But Paul goes and he's sorting these things out, helping people learn and understand Christ a little bit better. This is what he says. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And what do we mean by believe? Believe is they placed their faith and believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So this is really early in the church. So they hadn't received any teaching on the Holy Spirit yet. He says, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. So they accepted Christ and they were baptized, but it was into this John's baptism in verse 4. And he makes, so this clarifies some of these distinctions that I've been making. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, They were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. So that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see all three of those baptisms in that one account. So, it is a gift of God to be able to repent. Because repentance always reconciles a relationship. Right? And that's a beautiful thing. It might be hard to say you're sorry. It's hard to say you're wrong. No one likes to humble themselves. But the result of doing that is a restored relationship. And that's beautiful. If you plan to have a friend and keep that friend for a long period of time, get used to saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That goes for human relationships, and it goes with our relationship with God. God, I was wrong, I'm sorry, forgive me. And the Bible tells us that for those if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's that cleanness that happens there. But then the next thing we need to do is, you know what, is come and be baptized in this symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, what we're going to do today. And then over the next couple weeks and, you know, couple months, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how that is something else, that Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. So all these ideas of a changed life, of a cleansed life, of a new life in Jesus Christ, and just being ready for God's power to be in your life and have this relationship with God, it's so beautiful, and all of it being connected in what we're doing today. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm so glad you're here to be a part of this celebration.